my colleagues, or at least some of my colleagues, know I've been working on this book for a while and will continue to work on this book for a while, but I thought I would give a little bit more background about the larger project for those of you who are new and for the students who don't know that much about it. So I'm just going to speak for a little longer than I otherwise would, because I would like you all to be part of the conversation, and so I want to bring you up to speed. So my book is tentatively called People Out of Place, The 60s, the Supreme Court, and Vagrancy Law. And the idea of the book is pretty simple. There are vagrancy laws that came from England over to the United States with the colonists. They proliferated all over the colonies and then all over the United States, both as state laws and as local ordinances. They take a number of different forms. They prohibit wandering about with no apparent purpose, wandering about with no visible means of support, being able to account for oneself. They get divided up in lots of different ways. Some become loitering laws, others vagrancy laws that focus on means of support, others suspicious persons laws that focus on loitering in a manner that makes one look like they're about to commit a crime. And they get used to regulate all kinds of unpopular people, people who are strangers, people who seem like they might be about to commit crimes, cultural nonconformists, political dissidents, racial and religious minorities, basically anyone who seems at all to be a threat to the social order. And in the 1950s and 1960s and 1970s, a lot of these groups of people start to coalesce into social movements, and they start to get lawyers, and they start to bring challenges to these vagrancy, loitering, and suspicious persons laws. And over the course of the 1950s and the 1960s into the early 70s, these laws become increasingly suspect constitutionally, and the Supreme Court ultimately strikes them down in 1972. They get replaced by other kinds of laws, so it's not a story of, yahoo, everything is good at the end of the day. But I do think that the fact that we no longer have these traditional vagrancy laws is meaningful at the end of the day in the book. And there are roots. The reason why the Supreme Court, I think, ultimately strikes these down and these laws start to look illegitimate in ways that they hadn't before the 1950s, there are lots of different reasons why. Some come from the social movements themselves and the fact of challenges and the efforts that are made in the challenges, but others come from legal developments that are going on around the same time. So you've got new developments in First Amendment law and free speech, new developments in what people think about policing and crime control and social control, new visions of criminal procedure and criminal justice, new ideas about labor and poverty and the role of the welfare state, new visions of pluralism and nonconformity that get elaborated in the new form of substantive due process in the 1970s, and new visions of anti-discrimination and equality. So these all feed in. And my goal is to construct a history of the end of these vagrancy laws by that doesn't flatten out any of those stories, but shows them all coming together in lots of streams that all flow in the same direction and push the court to act. And also to use this story about the history of vagrancy law as a lens into the 1960s and to tell a legal history of the 1960s that is about these developments and the movements that they're a part of.